the other way. Smith hit by Shaw. Andrew Shaw got together with Smith, whose headgear went flying, and he's down.
Now the Bulls got to go hard. They need three. Rose to his right. Hangs. Fires. Score!
Assassin is back! He's back, Funk!
Welcome into the Windy City Roundup, Pip and Ain't Easy Radio Network, where we take you around the best sports scene in this country. Good time to be a Chicago sports fan right now. You've got Cubs are in action, White Sox are in action, so you got baseball, we're working side to side. The Bulls are in action, of course, making a championship run, best record in the NBA, and closing out on the Heat. They also got the Chicago Blackhawks. They won on Saturday, and they're tied 1-1 in their series. And it's going to go to a game three on Tuesday, and they're going to win there, and they're going to win again in game four. And it's going to be a closeout series. At least that's what we're all hoping for. But right now, Chicago is a Bulls town. I said it last time, and I'm going to say it again until the Bulls finish their 2011-12 season. It's a Bulls town right now. Derrick Rose, the face of the town. Joakim Noah, he's the voice of the town. The Bulls, it's a look and the feel, because they're the best team in the NBA right now. And they're riding a 44-14 record. Currently, 3.5 games on top of the Miami Heat. They're going to be in action tonight against the Washington Wizards, the lowly Washington Wizards, with a 14-46 record. Hard to call it a matchup tonight, but then again, we said the same thing about the Pistons game, which took place on Sunday night last evening. And that turned out completely different than anybody could have predicted, because the Bulls went down to the wire and they nearly lost the game. Mental mistakes, everything was not going the Bulls' way, but they eventually pull it out. Derrick Rose, Windy City Assassin, he's his usual self, hits a game-tying three-pointer, sends it all into overtime, and then the Bulls, they close out just like they did last Thursday against the Heat. But we're going to talk about the Bulls first. We're going to get to the Blackhawks. Keith Schultz from Blackhawk Up joins me in just a bit to talk about Game 2 and preview Game 3, which is tomorrow night at the United Center against the Coyotes of Phoenix. Series is tied 1-1. But first, let's talk about the Chicago Bulls, because the season is winding down, and they're closer and closer and closer to closing out the Eastern Conference and to winning home court advantage throughout the playoffs, which is huge. And they're also, which is more important, getting Derrick Rose more healthy. We kind of saw him hit a slump. Actually, we really saw him hit a slump against the Miami Heat on Thursday. He scores a career-low 2 points, comes back on Sunday, becomes his usual self again. And by usual self, not only do we mean he scores 20-plus points, but he hits a game-tying three-pointer when the Bulls really needed it. And they really needed it. It was a trap game. We've seen the Bulls struggle in trap games last year, numerous times. We're seeing it again this year with yesterday's matchup highlighted. Mucho el highlighted on the game yesterday because they were falling into the trap. They could not get anything done. They started out strong, and then all of a sudden, they just couldn't get anything working. Mental mistakes. They weren't hitting shots. Nothing was falling into place for them, and the Pistons all of a sudden mounted, I believe at one point it was an 8 or a 9 point lead at one point, and really nothing seemed to be going right for the Bulls. But they get back into it, but the mental mistakes, they continued until the end of the game, all the way down where the Bulls get very lucky that Derrick Rose can tie the game with a long three-pointer because Rodney Stuckey misses one of two free throws, but the reason he was at the free throw line is because the Bulls had last possession of the game. Except they did one thing wrong when you're trying to win a game on the last possession. They waited more than 5 seconds to inbound the ball. They got called for a 5 second violation, and all of a sudden they turn it over. Ton of turnovers for the Bulls last night, which really did not contribute at all to helping them win the game. They had a total of 21 turnovers last night. Not good for the Bulls. But Stuckey misses one of two free throws. It's a three-point game. Then Derrick Rose casually strolls down the court, throws up a three-pointer like it's absolutely nothing, hits it, I don't even think it hit the rim. I think it just went right in. One of those patented Derrick Rose three-pointers ties the game. We head to overtime. The Bulls close up from there, and they win 194 in a game that they should have won in regulation by a lot more than just 6 points. But I guess you have to take them where you can get them. It wasn't a loss. Even if it would have been a loss, it wouldn't have been devastating because they still would have had a lead on the Heat. But now they are still on track to win the Eastern Conference or be in a position to win the Eastern Conference when they play the Heat on Thursday, which is in a couple of days. But in between then, they get two more easy games, which could be considered trap games, much like the one last night. Tonight they get the Washington Wizards, who are... It's tough to call it a matchup. It's really tough to call that game a matchup just because the Wizards are so awful. They get the Bobcats on Wednesday, so it's not too bad. The Bulls, they're going to be able to, I think, be in a good position to close out the Heat on Thursday, or already have them in a position where they are closed out when they meet on Thursday. But the Washington Wizards, they come to town tonight at 7 o'clock on Comcast Sportsnet Chicago. 44-14 of the Chicago Bulls going against the 14-46 Washington Wizards. Ouch. So that's not going to be a very intriguing matchup. But you have to remember that the Wizards played the Bulls twice before this year, and they played them pretty close. The first meeting, they actually led at a couple points in the game. So this is a game not unlike the Pistons game, where if the Bulls drag their feet, if they make mental mistakes, they're going to be in a position where they might have to come back against the Wizards, which is embarrassing, especially when you have the best record in the NBA. But you don't want to lose games at this point, especially games that you should not lose. You should not lose against the Pistons. You should not lose against the Wizards. You should definitely not lose against the 7-win Bobcats. So, I mean, I don't see how a team can go without Derrick Rose and beat the Heat twice in a row and then come back and be taken down to the wire against a Pistons team that is playing for absolutely nothing this season. So, we're going to have to just wait and see what the game holds tonight. I think the Bulls learned something from last night's win. They learned that they can do better. They know that they can do better, especially against lowly teams, teams that are playing for nothing. Because when you play a team that's playing for nothing and you're the best team in the NBA, those teams all of a sudden have something to play for. They want to be that team that's a blemish on your record. The Pistons, being a divisional opponent, really wanted to mess up the Bulls. They wouldn't derail the Bulls' plans to win the Eastern Conference, but they just would have thrown a nice wrench into the works and really would have slowed things down. The Wizards want to do that too. John Wall, he wants to be a superstar in the league as much as, I mean, he's trying, as much as you want to say he's trying. Sometimes it doesn't look like he's trying very hard, but he wants to be a superstar in the league. Like, point guards are becoming the thing. They're becoming the fad in the league. Chris Paul, Derrick Rose, you know, you've got Jeremy Lin. All of these superstar point guards lead their team. John Wall wants to be part of that. He can do that tonight against the Bulls by showing that he can indeed try when it matters. If he just mails it in, and if the Wizards just absolutely get blown out, I think I'm going to lose all of my respect for John Wall, the respect that is very thin at the moment. He's teetering on whether or not he's a bust right now. I don't want to hear he's in Washington, he doesn't have a good supporting cast, this and that. That doesn't matter. When Derrick Rose stepped into the situation with the Bulls, they weren't as bad as the Wizards, but they weren't the force to be reckoned with that they are now. But he didn't care about that. He didn't care about becoming his own brand. He became his own brand because he's just that good, because he led the Bulls to where they are now. I think that's what John Wall needs to start thinking like, but right now I think he's in the mindset where it's superstar, 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 John Wall, John Wall, John Wall, and then, you know, the Wizards come in 7th, 8th, or 9th on his list of things that are important for him to do in his NBA career. Which is unfortunate, but hopefully he can prove me wrong by putting in a nice performance tonight. That's going to be seen. Who knows how that's going to turn out. Another thing to take away from yesterday's game, afterwards Derrick Rose had comments about Charlie Villanueva's hard foul late in the game. Derrick Rose expressed vehement anger that he seems to be the only superstar that doesn't get the calls. He didn't come out and say that this time like he did after the Knicks game, and then he was slapped with a $25,000 fine. He didn't really criticize the officials as much as he criticized the players, where he said that Charlie Villanueva wasn't even going for the ball. It was a blatant, flagrant foul. It was called by the officials. Then Villanueva got a technical foul for arguing the call. It cut Rose's nose, so Rose was bleeding on the court, had to go over to the sidelines and get attended to by the Bulls trainers. He's not going to get stitches on the nose because, well, he's got a well-documented fear of needles. Derrick Rose, this triumphant superstar in the NBA, but if there's one thing that he hates, it's needles. He's Indiana Jones. It's not snakes. It's needles for Derrick Rose. I don't know why he has 14 tattoos if he's afraid of needles. That, you know, that's beyond me. I guess when you get a tattoo, the needle's not too bad. When you're stitching up your nose, all of a sudden there's a fear of needles. But it doesn't matter. He's going to be fine with the nose. The thing to take away from that was, though, that Derrick Rose continues to get fouled hard. And when you're as injured as Derrick Rose has been, I wouldn't have a problem with Derrick Rose getting fouled as hard as he's getting fouled, as often as he's getting fouled, if he was healthy. But we've had ankle problems, groin problems, back problems, toe problems. Problems that have kept him out for extended periods of time. When he gets those hard fouls, like the one that Charlie Villanueva put on him last night, that all of a sudden opens up an entire new area where he may miss time. Who's to say Derrick Rose doesn't break his nose, and all of a sudden, you know, what happens then? When you're down the stretch here, and you're in a game like that, it was a physical game, but take Derrick Rose's comments as you will. Take the entire play as you will. Some people think that Villanueva was going for the ball. It just so happened that he ended up basically palming Derrick Rose's nose and cutting it open. Others think that it was blatant. Doesn't matter. The point is Derrick Rose continues to take hard fouls, and he can't continue to do that. Either he needs to be protected by the officials, or he needs to be protected by not putting himself in situations where he's going to get hard fouled hard, which is a difficult thing to do because then all of a sudden he brings into question the competitiveness of the game. Because Derrick Rose wasn't looking to be fouled hard. He was playing hard, and you get fouled hard when you play hard. So I guess you really have to decide which you want. Do you want Derrick Rose to play a game where he just plays perimeter, or do you want him to get dirty, get down low, and then open himself up to those hard fouls? It's the way he plays. I think maybe you just have to get used to it. I think he has to get used to it because he's still very frustrated about how he's treated by other players, whether that be because there's some kind of angst because they're not Derrick Rose, and Derrick Rose is the reigning MVP. Who knows? Conspiracy theories, who shot JFK, who's hard-following Derrick Rose for what reason, it's all the same. The point is Derrick Rose needs to watch himself down low. He watched himself what he said after the game, which is good, so he's obviously learning. He didn't criticize the officials. But that's something to watch as we get down in the stretch here, and something to watch in the playoffs too. Derrick Rose has expressed he doesn't like getting fouled hard. He's expressed, he said he's sick and tired of the cheap shots. Other teams now, if I'm a coach of another team, I take that quote and say, Derrick Rose, he's going to get flustered if, you know, throw him some cheap shots that don't get seen. And it happens every game. You know, everybody plays dirty. Not everybody gets caught doing it. So that's something to watch now going down the stretch into the playoffs, is how Derrick Rose is treated, because now people know that he may or may not have a weakness when it comes to getting fouled hard. Whether that be you foul him hard and then all of a sudden he's flustered and he has to get his footing back, or it's the Derrick Rose that we've seen where when Derrick Rose gets angry, it results in a lot of points for the Bulls and a lot of disappointment for the other team. So that's something to watch. I don't know how hard the Wizards are going to play him tonight. Just something to ponder. Wizards Bulls tonight, Comcast Sportsnet Chicago, 7 o'clock Chicago time, 8 o'clock Washington time. Check it out. Pippin Ain't Easy. Follow us at Bulls Beat Blog on Twitter. We're going to be live tweeting the game, every game now until the end of the season. So check it out there if you can't watch it on TV, if you can't listen to it on ESPN Radio 1000 with Chuck Swirsky. Follow Bulls Beat Blog. We got the live tweets coming at you. It's going to be good. And, I mean, you can almost, it's a foregone conclusion that the Bulls are going to win, but we're saying that lightly given the events that happened yesterday. The Blackhawks were in action on Saturday. They're in action again on Tuesday. Keith Schultz from Blackhawk Up joins me next. to talk about another nail biter, the Cardiac Hawks, he's calling them, because they come down to the wire yet again. Under 10 seconds to go in the game, the Blackhawks tie it up, send it to overtime, but they win this time, tie the series at 1. It heads back to Chicago for Tuesday. We had some incidences last night that might get some league attention, might get some suspensions here. Andrew Shaw, we're looking in your direction for what you did to Mike Smith. We're going to get Keith Schultz's opinions on that incident and recapping Game 2. Looking forward to Game 3 next on the Windy City Roundup, Pippin' Ain't Easy Radio Network. Joined by Blackhawk upwriter Keith Schultz, who's going to talk to us now about Game 2 of the Stanley Cup playoff that we had. The Blackhawks, they pull one out. They go to overtime again. The Cardiac Hawks, as he's calling them, take it down to the wire, win it in overtime. They tie up the series 1-1. How did you feel after Game 2 this time, Keith? A little bit of a different outcome that favored the Blackhawks here.
A lot better feeling to win a game in overtime than lose one, that's for sure.
All right, so first off, the Blackhawks win. That's the biggest thing to take away from Game 2. But before we get to the Andrew Shaw incident, what did you see in Game 2 that you didn't see in Game 1 that resulted in a Blackhawks win?
The biggest thing was, scoring in overtime, but they definitely applied the pressure in overtime, and they got the big turnover in overtime and got the puck in the net where we were scrambling in Game 1 in overtime and gave up the goal.
All right, one of the biggest stories of the game was an incident that occurred in the second period when Coyotes goalie Mike Smith left the net, went behind it to retrieve the puck, and was blindsided, it appeared, by Andrew Shaw. Andrew Shaw gets a 5-minute major for game misconduct. He gets booted, and he'll probably get a phone call from Brandon Shanahan. He's apparently awaiting a hearing to see if he's going to be suspended or not from the league. Was it as serious as it looked, or did Smith kind of feel contact and then sell it really brilliantly? How did you interpret that whole interaction between Andrew Shaw and Mike Smith behind the net?
Well, he definitely ran into him. Of course, any hockey player would say that they were trying to avoid the goalie at that time. But if you look at the one replay, it definitely shows helmet to helmet hit. So him getting a penalty in a 5-minute major, which definitely hurt the Hawks, and getting game misconduct, I think was all fine by the NHL. But for him to serve any more time, I don't think that would be acceptable for what happened, especially Mike Smith got hit in the head, but, man, it looked very theatrical the way he looked like he got hit in the head by another player.
All right, so Smith definitely, he didn't seem too phased after Shaw got tossed, and it took until 6 seconds left in the game for him to give up another goal, and it was a game-tying goal. It gave the Blackhawks momentum. Keith, how many more times can the Cardiac Hawks, as you've coined them, take things down to the wire like they've had and expect someone like Seabrook or Sharp to save the day? Because they can't win the Stanley Cup, in my opinion, continuing to play down to the wire like this. What do you think?
Absolutely not. But they definitely have the heart and the desire, and they never give up on any game. So as a Hawks fan, you definitely can't turn the channel if you see that they're trailing in the third period. But in the Cup, they definitely need to get their act together in the middle of the game and start playing to their strengths and not letting teams dictate the pace of the game and keeping them on the boards. They definitely need to get in the middle of the ice, skate, and use their talents and abilities to get leads and maintain leads instead of making this last-second pitch effort at the end of games. I don't know if you can handle it, but, man, it's hard to watch sometimes. But it's definitely exciting.
All right, now Brian Bickell scores twice in Game 2. He now leads the Blackhawks in goals this postseason. And we've seen Corey Crawford be nothing short of an acrobat in the net, making all these miraculous saves, and he's not getting a whole lot of help either. So who else can we see is going to be an unlikely hero in Game 3? Or are we going to see the Jonathan Toews and the Patrick Kanes of the world start stepping up and being the impact players that they should be? Or are we going to keep seeing these bit players and the players that fly under the radar, like Bickell, step up in big spots like they have.
I mean, it's always great in the playoffs when the no-name or the grunts of your team definitely get points. Having Brandon Dolan get a goal, I mean, that's definitely unexpected. And Bickle get two, you know, just awesome. But I think the person that really needs to step up in Game 3 is Marian Hossa. He got six shots on goal in his past game, but for the Hawks to be successful and, you know, have the home crowd behind him, I think Marian Hossa is going to have a good game in Game 3.
All right, let's take a quick trip around the other NHL games real quick here, because right now we still have the maximum amount of teams eligible alive in the playoffs, but it doesn't look like they're going to be alive too long because of the Kings. They've put the top-seeded Canucks in an 0-3 hole, which I personally enjoy. But, Keith, how happy are you that the Vancouver Canucks are now in an 0-3 hole and are in serious danger of being eliminated in the first round of the playoffs?
As a Hawks fan, it's awesome. Anytime the Canucks or Detroit loses, I think it's a great day as a Hawks fan.
And the Penguins and Sidney Crosby also find themselves in an 0-3 hole against the Flyers, who scored 8 goals 2 consecutive games against the Pens. I personally enjoy this because I'm not the world's biggest Sidney Crosby fan. What about you, Keith? What's your opinion on the Penguins also being in an 0-3 hole, while the Penguins seem to be the favorite in the Eastern Conference, now also facing elimination?
Well, the thing about the Penguins is they still have a chance because their stars are still on the ice. Vancouver's missing Daniel Sedin, although apparently he practiced today. The Penguins have all their stars. They are definitely scoring goals in the series. They just need Fleury to stop a puck or two. And who knows what the suspensions after that game. They kind of gooned it up at the end of the game. So they might be missing some players, but they definitely have the talent to come back from 0-3. But the way that they've been playing, it looks unlikely right now.
All right, and finally, before we get into your Blackhawks prediction for Game 3, like you said at the end of that Penguins-Flyers game, it got physical, and it's been a very, very physical playoff so far. And the NHL and Brandon Shanahan, they're starting to step in, particularly in the Rangers and Senators series. We have Carl Hagelin, he's getting a 3-game suspension for elbowing Danny Alfredson in the head, and Matt Carniker is suspended for basically jumping Brian Boyle of the Rangers. And we've had a ton of extracurricular activity in the Sharks and Blues series and the Penguins and the Flyers series. Keith, where's the line in the playoffs here? When does it stop being physical playoff hockey? And when does it begin to be, like you said, guys just gooning it up?
I think the biggest change is when the game is decided. People are playing hard. Sometimes there might be a cheap shot or two, but doesn't get goony until they look up and there's 2 minutes left and they're down 2 or 3, and then it just gets out of hand. Especially like you saw in the Philly game and in the Sharks St. Louis game, they just went nuts the last 2 minutes, gooning it up and fighting and going crazy. I think it's just when the game is already decided, that's when it goes from physical borderline cheap line to when it just goes to out of hand.
So are you in favor of these suspensions that are being handed out, or do you think that they're a bit stiff?
I think one-game suspensions are fine. They send a message. I think the NHL missed the mark in the very first game when they didn't suspend Shea Weber for his head slam of Zetterberg. I think they could have set the tone right there, but when they let Weber get off, that they pretty much green-lighted everyone else that, hey, we might be able to get away with some stuff.
All right, Keith, you called it. The Hawks head back to Chicago with the series tied 1-1. What's your Game 3 prediction? Do the Hawks get it together and pull ahead 2-1, or do we continue in this back and forth, take a game, lose a game here? What's going to happen in Game 3?
I think Game 3 is the Hawks, after learning their lessons from Game 1, taking Game 2. They're going to feed with the home crowd, that all that momentum behind them, and they're
going to
take Game 3.
All right, he's Keith Schultz from BlackhawkUp.com. Check it out. They are covering the Blackhawks so closely this postseason and hopefully all the way through the Stanley Cup. Keith, thanks for joining me again today. Hopefully we can talk again after Game 3.
Thanks, man.
All right, and then we're going to come back, recap the show. It's Windy City Roundup, Pippin Ain't Easy Radio Network. All right, in case you missed it, in the first half of the show, we talk about the Bulls, recapping a little bit of their Pistons, escaping the trap game against the Pistons, and we look forward to tonight's matchup against the Washington Wizards, which is also a trap game, but should be handled a little bit better, especially now that they know how to not handle games late against terrible teams. Also, Keith Schultz joined me to talk about the Blackhawks, recapping Game 2, talked about the physicality that's going on in the NHL playoffs right now, and we looked forward to Game 3, which takes place on Tuesday inside of the United Center. Hopefully the Blackhawks can get a 2-1 lead series or a 2-1 series lead. We'll see. Keith Schultz believes that they will. I always believe that they will. I never bet against my own teams. So hopefully that one works out. Also, the Cubs, White Sox are in action. Got a ton of Chicago sports going on right now. It's a great time to be in love with Chicago sports. PippinAndEasy.com is your place to find all of the Bulls action. Follow us on Twitter at BullsBeatenBlog. Got game previews, game recaps, everything that you want. Our NBA Roundhouse, where we take you around the NBA. Everything that you could need about the NBA, about the Chicago Bulls, find it at PippinAndEasy.com. Also, that we're approaching the playoffs. We've got t-shirts to give away. We've got memorabilia to give away. It's a great time to be a Bulls fan and to be a reader of Pippin Ain't Easy. Also, BlackhawkUp.com. They're covering the Chicago Blackhawks like nobody else does out there. Check them out. Keith Schultz and all the staff over at Blackhawk Up covering the Blackhawks in their Stanley Cup run here in the 2012 playoffs. Also, Cubby's Crib. If you love the Cubs, check out CubbiesCrib.com to read all about the Chicago Cubs. Jordan Campbell runs that site very, very, very well. If you love the Cubs, check it out. I'm Josh Hill, editor at PippinAndEasy.com. This has been the Windy City Roundup. Chitcha. Next time we'll recap the Bulls action, hopefully a Blackhawks win, and maybe we'll have more good stuff to talk about with the Cubs. You never know. Windy City Roundup, Pippin Ain't Easy, Radio Network.